What costs money?
It's the bandwidth, basically.
This is our website.
I'm Valentina Powers. I'm an interactive producer. During breaking news stories is when most people log into our streams online.
Now let's take a look.
The more requests we get, the more we have to pay.
Help us to be there for you when you need us the most. Support podcasts by becoming a member now. Pledge online at WNYC.org.
WNYC podcasts are supported by Holy Name Hospital in Teaneck, New Jersey, providing comprehensive centers in cardiovascular services, interventional radiology, and cancer care. More information at www.holyname.org.
This is the city, and I am one of its citizens. Whatever interests the rest interests me. Politics, churches, newspapers, schools, benevolent societies, improvements, banks, tariffs, steamships, factories, markets, stocks and stores and real estate and personal estate.
Mary Myers reading from Whitman's Song of Myself from the recent WNYC Walt Whitman special. And aside from being perfect as a theme for this program and its listeners, that segment shows New York in her role as poetic muse, doesn't it? From Whitman to Auden to everyone at the New Yorican Poets Cafe or the Bowery Poetry Club, the city, for better or worse, feeds some poets' souls. And if you've noticed, a few odd people walking around the city talking to themselves this week, they may not be in need of medication, but they may be poets working out their rhythms and meters in town for the fourth People's Poetry Gathering, hosted by City Lore, the Bowery Poetry Club, and CUNY. It started Wednesday and concludes Sunday, and one of its main features is what they're calling the new New York City epic poem and poems of our fair and sometimes unfair city. How's that for a title? Can't fit that on the Chinese menu. A few of the contributions ran in last Sunday's New York Times City section, and we will hear more about the project from my guests, Steve Zeitlin, founding director of City Lore, and Bob Holman, former poet in residence here at WNYC and the owner of the Bowery Poetry Club. We're also joined for the first half of this program by poet Bushra Raymond, who will read her contribution to the new epic. So welcome to the show, Bushra, and welcome back, Bob and Steve.
Happy, happy, happy Poetry Day.
So, Bob Holman, happy Poetry Day to you. And I noticed it's not the fourth annual gathering. It's just the fourth gathering. Are poets just not into committing to getting together at regular intervals?
It's kind of a biennial, but we decided to switch seasons. So it's actually the sixth and a half year anniversary of the fourth People's Poetry Gathering.
And Steve, do you want to talk about the New York City epic? What a great idea. Who came up with it?
Me and Bob, well, Bob and I talked about the fact that we felt that in these times that
me and Bob, my English teacher, is turning in her, wherever she is. Go ahead.
So we talked about the fact that an epic was needed in these times to kind of convey the magnitude of the city. And we're both talking about New York as a world of so many different cultures, where we're bringing poems from all the world's endangered languages, many of the world's endangered languages, to New York, and at the same time celebrating the many languages and poetic spirit of the city itself. So it's New York as the world and word, and L is in parentheses. So Bob came up with that.
Yeah, you can really see that, oh dear radio audience. Imagine a word, and in the middle of it, just place an L in parentheses.
So explain how it works, while I'm still trying to figure out what that means. Okay. 20 established poets contributed, verses, and there's an open call for other contributors?
Exactly. We commissioned a great posse of poets to contribute their words to the New York epic. The only rule was that they were to take on the persona of some aspect of our fair, sometimes unfair city.
A place.
That is to start, well, not necessarily a place.
Uh-huh.
Could be a time, could be an emotion, idea, could be a scientific experiment, you know, whatever you would like to select.
Okay, now we put out the call to our listeners last hour as a place. So we're going to include a few listeners in this segment who have written instant poems that start, I am, and they've selected some places in New York, and we'll be surprised by what they are in a couple of minutes.
That is a perfect oral addition to the epic. Tomorrow, Saturday, at the CUNY Grad Center, there's going to be huge tablets of paper to allow the audience there to join in and write their own parts of the epic.
Wow.
And then we'll have a grand scroll, put it up on the internet, and of course it will never end, just like the city.
And you have coerced the poet Bushra Raymond to join you here in the studio. Bushra, to read your contribution to the epic.
That's right. And also, we should say that people can come to the gathering and bring their piece of the epic as well. Not only they can write it there, they can do it from your show and bring it into the CUNY Graduate Center from noon to 6 on Saturday. We'll be doing the epic and having many different poetry events all at the same time.
So, Bushra, do you want to read or do you want to set up what you're going to read?
Yeah, I'll set it up. I wrote about my neighborhood in Queens, Corona, and it goes something like this. I'm Corona, home of all those old-time World's Fair relics in Flushing Meadows. Some ancient tribe of white people lived here long ago. I'm like Stonehenge or the Eastern Island sculptures, made from a time when New York City and all the country was imagining the world's future, back when the future still seemed exciting and glossy, like some kind of old stainless steel science fiction movie. Not now, when the future seems like the inside of a dark coat sleeve. I'm Corona, under the shadow of Shea Stadium, where brown men became famous and moved to Long Island, where Muslim brothers played baseball in the tar schoolyards on the weekends. Back then, our brothers' futures were so open and they were so close, they all dreamed the same dream together, that with the crack of a bat and the pull of their skinny brown legs, they could run away from the smell of garbage, the fear on the streets, the boys beating them up when they came out of the masjids in the evening. They could hit that bat, and it would land them all the way into the safety of Shea Stadium, and then pass that into the island that was long and rich, where all the baseball stars lived.
Hmm. Such an interesting mixing of images that probably most listeners don't put together. The Muslim boys in Corona and baseball.
And it's that kind of variety. It's also the way that that Bushra mixes her her language up while she's talking. You know, one minute you're in the realities of the Corona Street, and the next minute you're in the inside of a coat sleeve.
And Bushra, did you write that as a contribution to the new New York City epic poem, or had you written that?
I had worked on parts of it before. I've read a lot about Corona. Since it's my old neighborhood, I'm very nostalgic about it. And I write a lot about that community. But I adapted it to fit into the epic. And just going along with the baseball thing, Muslim boys definitely play baseball. And I kind of wanted to get across us immigrant children had no idea what those buildings were when we were growing up, because we didn't know anything about New York's history. To us, they were just these strange dinosaur buildings, and I didn't know until I was an adult what they actually were.
So if you're just joining us and wondering what the heck is going on here, you just heard one of the contributors to Bushra Raymond and two of the organizers of the Fourth People's Poetry Gathering, hosted by City Lore, the Bowery Poetry Club, and CUNY, which started Wednesday and concludes Sunday. And one of its main features that we're focusing on here is what they call the new New York City epic poem and poems of our fair and sometimes unfair city. So in addition to Bushra, we have the organizers, poet Bob Holman and Steve Zeitlin from City Lore. And as I mentioned, we have some listeners who emailed us instant poems to contribute to the epic within the last hour, and let's hear a couple of them. So here is Rita. Hi, Rita. You're on WNYC. Thanks for your poem.
Thanks for choosing my poem.
So the theme, as we put it out, was it should start, I am something or someplace in New York City. So you want to jump right in?
Yes. I am Belvedere Castle, weather station, watchtower, pickup paradise, rising out of Vista Rock, a Victorian folly, or so said Olmsted. Overlooking the Delacorte Theater, I cast shadows on kings and beckon tourists. a home to some, a place for a quiet lunchtime break on a warm and busy May afternoon. High amid the wisteria, close to the bird's nests, I sit above time, watching the world climb my rocky staircase to find space, sky, and not incidentally, a great city view. The temperature in Central Park is now 73 degrees, and it's sunny. I am Belvedere Castle, a small eye, taking the measure of the infinite city.
Genius!
That's great.
Thank you.
Wonderful. You just wrote that this morning?
Just now, yeah, and it's interactive because actually I wrote it, it was 71 degrees and it's gone up 2 degrees to 73.
Sensational. That's a great Frank O'Hara technique, of course, is to put in the exact temperature and time you're following in the New York School
Frank
of Tradition.
O'Hara.
Don't we all love Frank O'Hara? Oh, yes. But I also love the way that you drop in that absolute historical fact that Olmsted, it was called the Victorian Folly.
Exactly.
And it's that mix of the historic and the metaphoric that makes for the greatness of that poem. Are you going to bring it down and put it in? You're going to put it in the epic tomorrow?
Well, I hadn't thought about it, but maybe.
Yeah,
And that's what, you know, the juxtaposing of Belvedere Castle and those strange structures left over from the World's Fair is exactly what makes the epic work. You know, the juxtaposition of these crazy things that exist in the city.
Rita, you just need to embed a little digital thermometer in your text where the number appears. Thank you for your call.
Thank you
very much. I think David, our other caller reader, has something a wee bit darker. David?
Hi there.
You want to set it up or jump in?
I could jump in first. That's probably easier for me.
Go ahead.
Okay. It's called I Am Loose Electricity.
Whoa.
I am loose electricity. You need my cousins for your very existence. I need you for mine. I like to harm. I like to kill.
Ooh.
I hide out in your daily lives. I go after your most vulnerable, your women, your pets. I am under you, around you. I strive to get in you. Come walk on me. Come touch me. Come burn with me. Funny. You can stop me, but they say it costs too much money. That is only a con. Educate yourselves, and Fluffy may live. Ignore, and you decide. Okay, that's it.
And you never even said the words manhole cover.
No,
but he did manage to get
con ed in there.
How about that for literary technique? The line ending. Separating the dividing the meanings of our great electrical supplier. Great work.
And also just the, you know, taking a word, a phrase that we hear in our daily lives, loose electricity.
Yeah.
It's such a poem in itself. That whole idea that it's such a dark poem that exists in just the way our figure of speech. And of course you never think of it in those terms. I think it's just great that you picked that.
Good job.
So New York.
David, thanks a lot.
Thank you.
Bob, you want to read something before we go to a break here?
Sure. What I've got here with me are the two lines that you'll find down near the World Financial Center at the South Slip, it's called, where all the yachts are parked. They have a fence around it so that you don't... you aren't able to get onto those yachts, but they written into the fence with the ironwork are these lines. First, a line from Walt Whitman that goes like this. City of the world, for all races are here. All the lands of the earth make contributions here. City of wharves and stores, city of tall facades of marble and iron, proud and passionate city, meddlesome, mad, extravagant city. I think that really sums up then and now and all times New York. Meddlesome, mad, extravagant city. And right next door is this great line from Frank O'Hara's Meditations in an Emergency, which is a great idea for all of us when those emergencies come.
And the previously referenced Frank O'Hara, go ahead.
Yes. So Frank starts off referencing Walt Whitman here by saying, "One need never leave the confines of New York to get all the greenery one wishes. I can't even enjoy a blade of grass unless I know there's a subway handy, or a record store, or some other sign that people do not totally regret life.
So I just had an inspiration, Bob. We can, by saying I am the fence down by the South Street Seaport, we can work in those lines into the epic.
Genius.
We will continue, and we'll have a few of you, more of you on the phone who we've already selected, so don't call in, but a few more of your I Am poems meant to contribute to the new New York City epic poem and poems of our fair and sometimes unfair city with Bob Holman and Steve Zeitlin, the organizers. Poet Bushra Raymond, thank you very much for coming
thank
in and reading with us. We'll continue. Brian Lehrer on WNYC. Brian Lehrer on WNYC, and we'll continue now with the New York City epic poem and poems of our fair and sometimes unfair city from the People's Poetry Gathering, which ends on Sunday. My guests, Steve Zeitlin, founding director of City Lore, and Bob Holman, former poet in residence here at WNYC, proprietor of the Bowery Poetry Club and visiting professor of writing at Columbia University. And now we're also joined by freestyle rap poet Tony Blackman, who also contributed to the New York City epic. Welcome, Tony.
Good morning.
So why don't we just start this half of the program by having you read your contribution to the epic. Will you do that?
Yeah, sure. Right now? Okay. You know, I'm from California, so this is from the perspective of a New Yorker who's a Californian.
Okay.
Okay.
Transplanted.
I am the love child conceived by a quickie, given birth to in a New York minute. My mama screaming, singing Stevie's, living for the city. I am the song of subway musicians, massaging the minds of the masses with interludes for the day. I am not afraid of the ghosts who greet me when visiting Harlem. We cipher together on street corners reserved for old men shooting the breeze and young boys trying to fit in. I am a dancer whose words ride the A-train to Nostrand Avenue and 125th and back again, commuters watching my moving lips, wondering is she stressed out, mentally ill, or a poet. I am not silent, for the city only sleeps between 4 and 5 a.m., when the spiritual ritualists are rising for prayer or power yoga or to collect their souls before daylight appears. I am a tourist, visiting distant lands via buses and trains, my feet carrying me down long city blocks, dancing to Mbala in Little Senegal, while women peeling onions, cleaning fish, cooking rice make magic. I send a postcard to my friends back in Little Italy, telling them of the joys of my journey, because I am a dreamer in a big city of dreams, fist raised high above my head, shouting, poetry for the people, poetry for the people, writing yet another poem about my rights and naming our destiny as June Jordan told us to do. I am pissing off the 9-to-5ers, rushing through rush hour crowds on underground walkways, my west side stroll resisting the urge to blend in, rebelliously refusing to become a part of this madness. I and my iPod remain relaxed. I freestyle for myself, imagining the blue suits and uniforms head nodding to the rhythm of my rhyme. I am pounding the pavement, kicking in doors, and solemnly swear not to leave this city until I get what I came for. I am reminiscing back to long summer days, 9 years old, California sun beaming down, me begging, Mama, can we move to New York? Can we please? Mama, can we please move to New York? Please.
Wow.
Did you? Is that real? Were you a kid asking your mama, can we please move to New York?
Yeah.
What was it about New York at that time for you?
You know, you can be born in a place and that place not be you. Mm. And I've known since I was 9 years old that I'm not a West Coast girl. And when I moved to the East Coast, I moved to D.C. And the only thing, New York, the wind chill scared me. So it took me 10 years. I came to the East Coast, and then I came to New York after I got used to the wind chill. And I just was supposed to be, I knew I was supposed to be here. And once I came, that's when everything started to click for me artistically.
And I love that line, is she stressed out, mentally ill, or a poet?
Right.
Which, Bob, as I'm sure you can attest, are not mutually exclusive.
You know, as far as I know, Brian, it was Ted Jones who wrote the original, if you see someone muttering, talking to themselves, do not run away. It could be a poet, and you have nothing to fear but your love.
Steve Zeitlin, tell us more about this new New York City epic poem, as you're calling it, and explain to our listeners a little bit more about how this will work visually. Where can they see it, and what will it look like with all these different people contributing verses?
Okay, well, the Poetry Bash, that's one big segment of the Poetry Gathering, is happening on Saturday, tomorrow, from noon to 6 at the CUNY Graduate Center. And you can, and what's going to happen is anybody who wants to can bring in their portion of the epic, and we're going to write it on large sheets of paper and put the sections of the epic all over the walls. People can come and meditate right there and try to invent the epic right there, right, or they can bring it in
and post it right there. It's completely open source in that way.
It's open source, and then we're going to create a beautiful New York City epic poem for the web based on this material. And if people want to find out how to get tickets and so on, please call City Lore at 212-529-1955 or check out the website www.peoplespoetry.org.
Give that number again.
212-529-1955.
Right. And where again tomorrow?
It's at CUNY Graduate Center, where you will be able to hear poetry from the Irish, the Welsh, the Tlingit Native Americans from Alaska, from an African epic where Kaoli Kamara went back to Africa to recreate a family epic in his family. So it's an incredible cornucopia of excess poetry.
More poetry. Well, there's no excess poetry, Steve. But the exact location coordinates are 365 Fifth Avenue between 34th and 35th
Street.
Yeah,
it's 34th and 5th, right across from the Empire State Building.
Yeah, exactly.
Conveniently located.
I am the Empire State Building.
Did anybody do, now that's the theme of everybody's contribution. And we're going to listen to a few more of our listeners who emailed these, and we selected them from many contributions that we got via email. But Bob, again, establish this idea of, you've asked people to start each of their contributions with the words I am.
Yes, exactly. Although that does not mean that you need write in iambic pentameter.
Oh, sorry.
Now look, but it's to personify the city, for us to take on different aspects. We've got the Chelsea Hotel. Max Blagg wrote about that. Bob Hirshon wrote about all the recipes and dinners that are not happening at the restaurants that have closed throughout New York. I mentioned some of his favorite restaurants. An incredible piece.
Some of you saw the excerpts in the city section of the New York Times last Sunday, like I'm Corona. In fact, we heard the writer of that in the last segment. I am muggy, fly-filled day inside a Bronx courtyard. I am Sydenham Hospital. I am the accumulated memory and waistline of the dead restaurants of New York.
There you have it.
And Jane, hi.
Hi.
Who are you?
I'm from Long Island, and I am the East River.
Ah.
Go for it.
I am the East River. I'm not the beautiful and the glamorous and the historic Hudson. I'm not the bustling harbor. I'm just the odd sister, the skinny gray dribble of water that snakes along between beautiful Manhattan and Queens and the beginning of Long Island. Bridges span me, pretty bridges, the necklaces of New York City. But me, I'm no necklace, no crown, nothing much. They didn't even name me. They just call me the East River.
That's, we missed it. We were laughing over the last line. What was it? Jane?
She's Jane? Already...
Did we lose Jane?
She's already jumped in.
I guess so.
You know, it's a tragic life.
I'm sorry. Are you there?
Oh, now we got you
back.
I think we lost the last line of your poem. What was the last line?
Oh, okay. I'm no necklace, no crown, nothing much. They didn't even name me. They just call me the East River. But you know something? Without me, Manhattan in all her glory would just be stuck to Queens.
Thank you very much. That's great.
Beautiful.
That's great.
Beautiful.
All right. Let's go on to another one. Adrian.
Wouldn't Manhattanites die?
Written by a Long Islander. Adrian. Hi, Adrian.
Hi.
Where are you from?
Well, I'll get started. I'm the corner of East 10th Street, where the 2nd Avenue Deli used to be.
Oh, my goodness.
Okay, and that's what you are in this poem, so go ahead.
On the corner of East 10th Street, where the 2nd Avenue Deli used to be, I stand among the Yiddish stars, bereft of brisket, melancholy over matzo balls, and crying my kishkas out over kashavarnishkas, ne'er to be seen again in these parts. Who will remember Molly Picone and Fivish Finkel and the Barry sisters when their names, etched in stars on the sidewalk, stand in the shadow of the next, choose one, Duane Reade, Chase, Starbucks? I stood among the crowds who noshed on chopped liver on rye, served while they waited for tables. I stood there waiting, a vegetarian who lived down the block, because my basset hound Dooley knew her devoted friends. Joe behind the counter, Tony the manager, Lisa the greeter at the door, would bring her fresh turkey breast. Where did her friends go? I stand on the corner remembering the day the deli dedicated a star to Daniel Libeskind, who said in English and Yiddish that Jewish theater and culture and food wouldn't die. He stood on the corner in front of the 2nd Avenue Deli and said, have no fear, the deli would remain a testament to that culture, as venerable and unmovable, as historic and beloved as St. Mark's Church in the Bowery across the street. I stand here wishing he was right.
Oh, that's great. That's great. And you know that one that I referenced by Bob Hirshon that was in the Times last week called I Am the Accumulated Memory and Waistline of the Dead Restaurants of New York? He references the 2nd Avenue Deli.
Oh, really?
And this builds
and
on
the
it so well.
And
no,
the,
it
and
was the Kashavarnishkas.
That's funny. I didn't see it.
But you picked out that one and expanded on it.
Yeah.
So great. Thank you very much.
And they're trying to save, where City Lore and Place Matters are helping in a movement to try to save the markers on the pavement to all the Yiddish stars now that the 2nd Avenue Deli is no longer there.
All right. Now, our guest poet in the studio, Toni Blackman, has offered to do something that I gather she's pretty good at, and Toni will explain a little bit about this, and that is to freestyle, that is to ad-lib a few lines about a place that one of you in our listening audience will select for her. So I think you get the theme now. It starts, I am someplace in New York City, and she's going to make one up on the spot. So if you want to call in a place to suggest, you could do that now, 212-433-WNYC, 433-9692. And Toni, while those calls are coming in, talk about the art of freestyling.
Well, one of the interesting aspects about poetry and oral tradition is that for me, I started freestyling because I needed something else to do to keep me inspired and connected to the words and to the language. It came from my experience in forensics. I was on the forensics team in college. That's how I paid for undergrad and graduate school.
Mm-hmm.
And impromptu speaking was really what made me realize like who I was as an artist, as a presenter, and it gave me confidence. And so I started to use it with young people as well. And then I started to use it on teachers. And I realized that freestyling poetry and freestyling rap helps you not only develop your speaking skills, but it helps you develop as a person and it helps you develop your spirit, which speaks to the power of poetry and why poets are so important to our society and how poets, you know, can stand and rise as the conscience of the people. And so when you're freestyling, it's even more pure because there's the mind is not the leader. It's the heart which leads the mind in the case of improvisation.
All right. So a lot of calls are coming in. Mm. My producers in the screening room are going to pick one to give Toni to freestyle. So you guys find
she's got to know a place that she knows about. That's right.
Find a good one. And while we're searching for it, we have one more reader listener who submitted an I Am contribution, and that is Stacy. Hi, Stacy.
Hi, how you doing?
Good. So dive right in. Where are you?
I am East New York. I am the barren yet overrun land of East New York, crowded by the high noise of broken English, patois, and Creole, teeming with plated dinners of stew peas, fried plantains, oxtail, funyuns, expired dairy, golden arches, dilapidated sea towns, high-priced corner stores, 45s and men assembled at corners in tight vitriolic huddles, marking territory and time. I'm overcome by hopes of several fortnight's wages saved for escape to areas of greater expanse and affordability, Florida, Atlanta, and other areas south, as mothers admonish their little ones that until then you are to return straight home. I've been forgotten by the tax dollar as trains struggle through unreliable aging stations as mothers dangerously balance their babies' carriages on creaking stairs because of a lack of elevators. I am dismissed by City Hall as undeserving of pilot projects, model schools, or intensive redevelopment. I am the eyesore and embarrassment of any civic endeavor. Regarded with glazed eye and unbelieving spirit, I have practically been wished away, but I'm still here.
Mm. Beautiful. You know, you get the feeling that the reason why this city doesn't have a poet laureate is because you'd have to have a poet laureate for every block.
But that's please right. Bring that down to the poetry gathering.
Stacey,
really,
really wonderful.
Thank you.
For the epic. So that's
poetry
really
gathering tomorrow.
We certainly have to have a poet laureate for every one of our 10 lines. Okay, Tony, you ready for your freestyle assignment? Selected has been Cheryl in Manhattan. Cheryl, what'd you think of?
Fresh Kills Landfill.
We might have to...
Fresh Kills Landfill in Staten Island is where the town's garbage used to go.
But if she's not familiar with it, then maybe it's not fair. You want another one?
Yeah.
Okay, nice idea, Cheryl, but let's try Steve in Manhattan. Steve, what you got? Steve, are you there?
I'm here.
Where do you want Tony to freestyle about?
Wall Street.
Oh, yeah.
It's got a name for the old wall in New Amsterdam.
What name for the old wall?
There was a wall that divided New Amsterdam from the rest of Manhattan.
We're here for poetry, not history, Steve.
I didn't read my poem when I sent it.
Steve, bring it to the gathering.
Tony, okay. You're on the spot.
Okay. I am Wall Street, climbing walls like a monkey in the jungle, where people eat up one another over nothing but money. It's funny that they laugh. They clown one another as if this circus town was meant to be a place for elephants and lions to roam freely, where they consume their trainers and they attack the children who are watching so pleasantly as the Dow rises up and down, determining whether or not I can be joyful today. The news reporters report what is happening along these streets, and we wonder what this does to alternate our beats and our rhythm and our soul. We walk down these cobbled lanes. We're wishing that things could stay the same. But somewhere around September in 2001, things changed. Our hearts were rearranged, and some of us went insane, and some of us still are being massaged in our brains, and we wonder when the rain will stop. The bombs explode in other parts of the world, and they're killing all the little boys and girls, and it rings as reminders each time the bank machine goes ching, 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 and the telephone rings on Wall Street. We think it's all about money, and we laugh and make jokes as if it's funny, and even on days when it's hot like today and it's springtime and sunny, my nose gets runny because of the pollen. I'm calling in to this man who's calling, telling us history. Who could he be but a man on Wall Street?
Man, oh man.
That was hard.
Can you do that, Bob?
Sure, I can.
I'm not asking you to do it. I'm not asking you to do it.
I learned from Tony.
That was great.
Are some of those lines that you kind of, you know, rhymes that you've used, arranged and rhymed?
No.
And then you fold them in? No. That was all right now.
Well, this the whole thing is we do freestyling. Freestyle Union is a workshop I've been running since 94. I do it in New York now at New School. And once a month. And the whole idea is we gather and we do freestyling for sport. And it's like the same way people play golf.
Yeah.
We freestyle.
Sport.
Yeah, it's a sport. And so it's just for fun. It's like some people go read the Bible.
And you came right back around to the caller and the fact that I referenced history. And that was great. All right. And you know what? We're out of time. So, Steve, just tell people one more time where to go for the fourth People's Poetry Gathering.
Okay, they should to find out more, check www.peoplespoetry.org with no apostrophe. Call 212-529-1955. Come to the Marble Cemetery at midnight tonight on 2nd Street if you want to hear Poe being read in the graveyard.
Wow.
Come hear the Celtic Poets at the Bowery Poetry Club tonight if you want to see Black 47. Tomorrow you'll get to see Galway Canal, Ed Hirsch. Who else, Bob?
Sekou Sundiata, Marie Ponceau, Kewule Kamara and his African epic, his Sierra Leonean epic. That's at 5th Avenue and 34th Street across and from the Empire State Building.
Fifth Avenue and 34th at the CUNY Graduate Center, and that's where they'll continue with what they call the new New York City epic poem and poems of our fair and sometimes unfair city. Thanks to all of you.
Thank you.
Great
Brian.
Job.
So
thanks
much.
To all of our callers.
You're the
great
poet,
job.
Brian.
Brian WNYC. Thanks for listening to today's podcast of The Brian Lehrer Show from WNYC, New York Public Radio. This was just one of the show's segments. You can hear everything we do on demand at WNYC.org. Check out our other podcasts at WNYC.org or on iTunes. This podcast is made possible by WNYC and its listeners. Please help support this free service by becoming a member at WNYC.org. And thanks.